Hup, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hup, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hup.
On this episode of the Union Podcast, I'll be speaking with John Hayes.
Hey, this is John Hayes. You're listening to the Union Podcast. Live strong and be prosperous.
But yeah,
any information in this podcast should first be reviewed by the corresponding professional, whether that's medical, financial, or legal, before applying it to your life. The views presented here may or may not be those of the host, guest, Union of Muscle, Black Hat Management, or its affiliates.
Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. Are you lifting with pain? Well, stop it. There's no more excuses, because I use Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Now, many of you know that Rubber Arm Muscle Rub was on the podcast talking about how it is that they got their product to market, and you can listen to that episode, but I want you to go to www.myrubberarm.com. Myrubberarm.com, all one word. And there, when you place your order for a Rubber Arm Muscle Rub, type in MUSCLE1 as your coupon code. This will get you 10% off, and it also helps the podcast out. So, if you're lifting in pain, stop it. You don't need to do it anymore. Go out and get rubbed. Get Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Remember, www.myrubberarm.com, and type in MUSCLE1, that's the number one, not the word, into your coupon code for 10% off and to help out the Union. Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. I have a clean little secret. I shave my chest. Yes, I do. It feels quite wonderful. And I shave my underarms, too. I shave my arms and maybe some other things you guys don't really care about. But I found a secret to not get those pesky ingrown hairs. They're a pain in the chest. And hopefully nowhere else. But I found a secret to reduce the pain of those ingrown hairs. And that is through my sister's very own body scrub. She used to give it away to me for Christmas. And we finally bugged her and bugged her and bugged her into offering it to other people. Because it works great for so many things, especially if you shave. So what you do is go to www.earthskinbodycare.com. That's all one word. Let me do it again because it can get, there's a lot of words in there. earthskinbodycare.com. Now, if you go there and type in the Union coupon code MUSCLE1, you get 10% off. And guess what? She gives me a little something on the side too to help keep this podcast going. Guys, girls, if you shave any part of your body and you don't want ingrown hairs, get her scrub at earthskinbodycare.com. It'll help you shave strong and prosper.
In this episode, we take a very optimistic approach to fitness and exercise. But please don't forget to review episode 9, where we get a little bit skeptical about fitness and about multi-level marketing schemes. With that being said, enjoy this episode of the Union of Muscle. Union Podcast. On this day of August 3rd, 2014 through August 10th, 2014, United States is in the lead. Brazil comes in second. Germany is behind by only 2 points. Australia, Canada, Netherlands, Portugal are in third. United Arab Emirates and Ukraine are in fourth. And Bulgaria is in fifth. We have a new leader for the episodes. Andrea Cox, episode 16, is now in the lead. Giovante's in second. Episode 4 with Angelica George-Giles and Katrina Stars in the Sky, sorry. Then Groovy Judy is next. Here by Emily Reynolds. Scott Rogers, the only way to get your episode into top placement is to get more people to listen. They can tune in through iTunes by typing into the iTunes podcast search Union of Muscle, or by going to www.theunionpodcast.com. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Union Podcast.
This is the Union Podcast. This is Coach Paul. I'm talking with John Hayes. John and I met through some mutual friends online. And he's got some great news for you guys and some great information about fitness. John, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey,
My name is John Hayes. I live in Dallas, Texas. I am a health and fitness coach, photographer, web developer. I keep myself busy. Got started on the health and fitness back in 2008, 2006. My mom passed away. She was battling some cancer and gained some weight, you know, helping focus on her with that. And late in 2006, later on, I started really trying to lose weight because I saw, you know, hey, I gained, need to work on that. So I lost about 40 pounds in a couple months just by getting in a health and fitness mindset of, you know, going to the gym every day, changing my diet, all that kind of stuff. But kind of hit a plateau. My cousin Jimmy had lost about 100 pounds doing P90X, you know, the program that's yes. out there that's real popular, the home-based fitness. And so I wanted to get involved with that because he said, you know, kind of breakthrough plateaus, you know. So, you know, did that in April 2008. I got started and I became a coach just at a discount, you know, because it was just sort of a discount program at that point. And did that, started taking some of the supplements they offered, you know, omegas and multivitamins and that kind of stuff, and started seeing some good results. Then they came out with the Shakeology, the health shake, superfood, veggies and fruits and stuff like that. That helped a lot because I got a big sweet tooth. So that really took my results up to the next level. And then after that, my dad passed away in 2008, just from not taking care of himself. He dropped dead, and I had to have an autopsy done and decided that he was kind of skinny fat, what they call skinny fat. And that's when I really decided to take the coach thing to the next level and show people that there's a better way to live. You know, people can make their own decisions, but I was going to at least let them know that there are better options out there. So that's when I started really focusing on coaching as a way of life and as a business and supporting people. Basically, anytime people get the programs like the P90X and Insanity and some of those, they get a coach, whether they realize it or not. And I connect with those people, and I put them in Facebook groups and do daily accountability online. So I help people all over the country and even in Canada. So very rewarding. I love it. And I'm always learning more and more about health and fitness myself because it's a way of life. And once you get into something, you know, you want to learn more and more. So I think that's how we connected.
Yeah. Now, you said kind of gained weight as you were helping your mom out. Were you into sports when you were younger or...?
No, you know, funny, I was a choir boy. So I was into singing. I was more of the intellectual type, all academics. I will say when I was younger, I went out for football once and they had a summer program and it was a weightlifting program, which I did not know going in. And so here I was like a ninth grader walking into the high school of a state winning football, you know, state football championship. You know, high school team,
right.
And I was lifting with seniors, and the football coaches there, they didn't care. Everyone did the same thing.
That's so awesome.
It was a bit overwhelming.
Oh,
yeah, it was overwhelming for me at the time.
Oh, okay.
Well, I've never done anything like that.
It's nice that they treated you the same though. They didn't give you any type of, you know, special treatment or anything. So it's nice that they kind of.
It's good for the program. I mean, you know, it put everybody on the playing field. It's just. As a walk-in who had never lifted before, being expected to start squatting, you know, with the big boys, it was a bit overwhelming for me. And,
oh, wow.
And so, in having a coach, a football coach, who's screaming, you know, if you can sit on the toilet tomorrow, you didn't squat enough. You know? So that was my introduction into the world of health and fitness, and it wasn't exactly the most ideal. I didn't last. I got out of that, and it was just a bit much for me. Looking back, I wish I'd stuck with it, obviously, because, you know, being in health and fitness now, and I think I could have done just fine. But it was sort of a mindset thing, and that's the thing with what I do as a coach is it's a lot of mindset, you know. As I'm sure you agree, anyone who has to overcome a big weight loss issue or any type of issue like that, it's in the mind more than in the body. You know, you get your mind right, and then you can get your body right. So back then, my mindset just wasn't right. So now I do personal development every day, and when I coach, I encourage them to do personal development every day to sort of work on that mindset as well and you know, get past resistance, make the little yeses and nos every day, but get consistency over time, that kind of stuff.
Huh. So when you say working on mindset, is this particular exercises that you're doing, kind of mental exercises?
It's actually books and audiobooks.
Okay.
So I'll recommend the top two books that I get all my people to read are one called The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. And that's just a just the little yeses and nos you make every day. So if I were to eat a donut today, I could look in the mirror tomorrow and I wouldn't suddenly be fat, right? But if I eat a donut every day, my life's going to go in a different direction. So it's the consistency and compound effect. All right, so there's that book. And the other book that I recommend everyone read is The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. That's Stephen with a V. And that's all about resistance in your life and identifying resistance and all the different forms it takes, overcoming it, obviously, but also realizing as resistance gets stronger in your life, you find yourself, like, surrounded and, like, buried in resistance. It's actually a sign that you're about to break through another goal. And so if you can recognize that, you'll see that you're on the right path. So that when things get harder, you'll actually push harder instead of giving up and running the other way. So if you can imagine, people that master those two things, consistency and overcoming resistance, well, they can easily, like, lose weight or get in great shape. You know, that's where I'm talking about it, like, mindset.
Interesting. I like that. Yeah, I've heard of Art of War, the War of Art. The War of Art. The Art of War is different. But, yeah.
The Art of War is Sun Tzu. Yeah. That helps you a lot if you're in battle.
Well, and I think from what I understand, I haven't actually read the book myself, but I've listened to quite a few people who are scholars of Sun Tzu's book, and what they say is that if you really get into his methodology, you don't want to get actually into war. You want to do so many preemptive things that nobody wants to come to fight with you, and you find a way that you end up working together or that they help you obtain your goals. So if you get, from what they were saying, Sun Tzu really wanted people to be able to turn their friends into allies or turn their enemies into allies, even if it meant that they had to kind of show that they were the biggest gorilla, in order to make sure that they worked with them and not against them.
It's very true. And it's another book I do own and I've read. And it's, Sun Tzu would say every battle is won or lost before it begins.
Right.
And that goes to your point. You know, it's like you either make allies or you make enemies. And then if you make enemies, you better figure out beforehand how you're going to defeat them. And sometimes your enemy is yourself. So that one works really well, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've heard about the War of Art. I think Joe Rogan's a big proponent of that. So if you ever listen to any of his stuff, he talks about that book quite a bit. So, yeah, and I think another book that the same guy wrote, did he also write a book about goal setting and planning, strategic planning?
I'm sure. You know, like I said, every single day I'm reading personal development or listening to it. I love audiobooks because then you can just pop it in and as you're driving in your car, you can just listen to it. And often the authors sort of add things when they're recording it anyway. So, I'm sure he's done that. I listened to, like, Malcolm Gladwell, who did, like, The Tipping Point, and David and Goliath, and a lot of John C. Maxwell stuff. You know, there's just so many good, authors out there. I think there's, as human beings, we should always be learning and growing. And the more you do that, and the more you start your day with that, that's going to dictate the way your whole day goes. And so yesterday and today, I had some of the people in one of my fitness groups online talk about how their day was, really rough. That, let's say one of my coaches under me, even, she's like, she's got multiple children. She's got a special needs child. She's got a husband who's gone most of the day. And she's just texting me like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. And I'm like, I know you hear this from me every day, but if you start your day with personal development, you listen to a podcast, because there's a lot of great podcasts out there about personal development and different things, and you start your day with that, and you put it in your head, it'll direct the whole day for you. And if you don't, just be in responsive mode. So many people, the first thing, and I'm guilty of this, the first thing you do is when you wake up, you look at your email or you look at your phone, you're starting in responsive mode. If you start in, proactive mode, and you do your personal development first, you're dictating how your day will go instead of letting someone else.
Yeah, I like your podcast idea. I listen to a lot of podcasts, not just this one, but I listen to a lot of podcasts, and it kind of distracts me from myself a little bit, and it makes me open up to different possibilities in the world, different ideas. Mm-hmm. And so then when I'm reflecting on what I want to do for the day and how I want to treat the day, I have a different frame of reference than the only thing I've got going into the day is how well I slept or didn't sleep and what woke me up. So, it creates a different frame of reference for the day. So, yeah, listen to a podcast, maybe even this one. That's a great idea.
There you go. There you go. And who would have thought, you know, Joe Schmo sitting on his couch at 2 a.m. seeing it like a peanut on the extra in any commercial, that it would get to this kind of stuff, right? But that's the great part about what I do is, you know, and sort of the tricky part when I'm first explaining what I do to people is like, hey, yeah, you think, you know, like I'm trying to get you to order some kind of fitness program, but I'm trying to change your life. Like I'm trying to bring you into sort of my family, my online family, and help you every day. That's what I love. That, you know, seeing those mindset shifts. You can help somebody lose like 5 or 10 pounds, but also do some personal development. You can become a completely different person. And it's very rewarding.
Well, I think that's part of why fitness and being dedicated to fitness is such a fulfilling thing, because it's really not just about the body. The body almost becomes a reflection of the mindset that you're in. And I'm not trying to hate on, you know, I'm not trying to fat shame anybody here, but it's an outward symbol to many people. Whether you agree with that or not, that's a different story. But for many people just looking, and sometimes you looking at yourself in the mirror, it's telling you a story about who you are. And some of those stories are set by, you know, some pretty frivolous things in society. But if you dig down a little bit deeper, oftentimes our physical, in today's society, the physical appearance, we favor what is actually healthy right now, or sometimes a little to the extreme, to the unhealthy end. But overall, the idea is pushing people more towards a fitness lifestyle of having, you know, a lower body fat count and good muscle tone.
Right.
And that's a symbol of health.
Yeah, and that's what I talk to people about. You know, people look at the scale and they let that decide for them. And the scale has its place because you need to know what your body's doing day to day, like water weight and different things like that. So I don't vilify the scale, but in the long term, I would like to see more like, you know, like you say, body fat percentage or how your clothes are fitting or how you see yourself in the mirror. Because one of the things a lot of people don't realize is if they're on this journey, weight gain and weight loss is not seen by, what was it, by you for 3 weeks and by your friends for 4 weeks. I think that's what it is. And so you can be going along and, you know, fall off the horse and you won't realize it until like 3 weeks later, and your friends won't realize it until 4 weeks later. And the same thing when you start working out, and you've got to, you know, give yourself a little grace with this. If you start working out, you're not going to see those results until like 3 weeks later. It's just a mental thing, you know, and your friends will see it like 4 weeks later. And, you know, there are people who've lost 100 pounds. They still have issues when they look in the mirror. They see the old, you know, them. So again, it goes back to mindset.
Yeah, and I like that working on your physical fitness can often also help you work on your mindset and vice versa. So I think they really can complement each other. That's what I really enjoy about working out, is that once I get into the gym and I start pushing weight around, I'm accomplishing things. Even if I'm not that great at it starting out, you know, even if I'm not lifting the heaviest weights in the gym, I've set a goal. I've gone in with a goal in mind. I'm going to do however many reps. I'm going to run however many minutes or whatever it is. You can set a goal and accomplish that goal. And as our jobs in life become less manual labor and more in the cerebral or mental, you know, and behind computers and desks, it becomes a little bit harder to see how the work you do changes the world around you. And
right. That's so true.
You know, working out, you begin to see that, you feel that, you connect more with the world around you as you move through it. Whereas, you know, when you're sitting in front of a computer screen, once you turn that computer off, you don't see the change anymore. The change is encapsulated and kept there, and it's virtual.
It's very true. You know, my degree back a few years ago was, I got an undergrad in computer science and a master's in digital arts and sciences, so I did my bit in corporate America and cubicle life and all that, and that's exactly why I didn't like that, is because I couldn't see, you know, how I was contributing. I you know, I was obviously doing things, and I have great respect for my fellow coders out there who do their jobs, because I couldn't help people online without that, but for me, it was so rewarding when I started doing more like health and fitness type stuff, because then you see, as you say, immediate, you know, impact on people, immediate results. And also when you're talking about going to the gym and just getting something done, you know, a lot of my people that I work with, they see some of these programs that we have, like the NX Insanity, T25, some of those, that are like 60-day, 90-day, and they say, oh my gosh, like that's so long, I can't see progress. And so what I say, it goes along with what you said about going to the gym and feeling accomplished, is just for today, you know, do your workout and finish that one workout. Because all you need to worry about is, after this one workout is done, I am now healthier than I was 30 minutes ago, 45 minutes ago, and let tomorrow take care of itself. If you focus on just the fact that I am now healthier than I was before, you know, I'm more fit, you know, and obviously, you know, the rest and nutrition, all that play a part in that, but just to get yourself through that workout, just think, I am now healthier than I was before, you can get through the 60 days, 90 days, no problem, you know, because, again, it's that short term, you just got to see right what's right in front of you.
Man, I have to commend you because that sounds hard. I've done the P90X, and that's a hard program to get through. That's a tough one, and you know, I'm in pretty good shape already, and was in pretty good shape when I did the program. But man, I tell you, and it's hard without some motivating and some help along the side. Because I think the first time I actually threw up, I made it through the workout, but I threw up at least once. So
very common for, you know, a lot of people just starting out, and I can't tell you how many times I get into conversation with people, and they're like, oh yeah, I started that P90X, and it's now on the bookshelf, you know, I couldn't handle it. The nice thing is, with the sort of the Beachbody, which is the company that makes that, they offer right. like 20 or 30 different programs, and so they put the most money behind advertising for the big ones, like P90X Insanity, but then there's now, like, P90X3, which is only 30 minutes, there's T25, which is 25 minutes, there's now Pio, which is a new one that combines yoga and Pilates. There's so many different ones. So that's part of what I do is also is matching people up with the one that's sort of right for them. Because, yeah, P90X was actually created for elite athletes to go to the next level. And so, but the nice thing is, you have that human spirit. You know, and the human spirit says, I can do that. I want to do that. And so people like my friend Dallas Carter in Hawaii, who lost, I think, what is it, like 180 pounds on P90X by doing like 5 or 6 rounds of it. And the first round, all he was doing was like marching in place, but he pushed play. Like he made it happen, you know? So whether you jump into the high level one and just know your limits and do what you can, or you jump into one that's more your level and work your way up to that, it's all good. It all works because you're burning sweat or you're burning fat, you're sweating. You know, you're just getting into it and making something happen, you know?
Your body can adapt, and it will adapt. The further off you are, the harder it is for that adaptation to occur. But your body can and will adapt if you put it through these things. You got all the genes you need to make that happen. So it's not impossible, but it may be implausible if you're trying to hit a higher intensity workout if you haven't done any workouts in quite a while.
And sometimes you just have to sort of put the ego aside. You know, one of the things I forget because it's just part of my life now, but I actually, in 2011, I'd been coaching already for a few years, right? But I hadn't really seen my results yet. And so I found out that Hip Hop Abs, it's this dance-based one you may have heard of, they were doing a new test group in New York City, and I live in Dallas. But everything I was doing, like the photography, the web, the coaching, it's all mobile. And so I was like, I could actually move up there and audition for this thing and get awesome results. And, you know, hey, it's a dance. But I thought in my mind, I'll dance in the middle of Times Square if it gets me results and, you know, changes my life. And so that's exactly what happened is I moved there 2 days later after thinking about this, turned my electricity off here, moved out there, lived with another coach who lives in New York City, like in Queens, auditioned, told them my story. They were kind of flabbergasted because most of those times those test groups are for local people. And they accepted me, and I lost 36 pounds and 49% body fat working out with Sean T every morning dancing. But I mean, it was intense dancing, you know? And then they provided the meals for those 2 to 3 months every day. So that was like the perfect environment because I got the great nutrition, the great workout. So yeah, it changed my life.
That's awesome. That's great.
It goes to the point, it doesn't really matter, you know, which of the different types of programs or whatever the things you like, even though it was dance, we're still burning like 1,000 calories every day, you know? So when you sort of, you want to find something that you enjoy, that sort of motivates you, and you'll still see the results.
Yeah, you can. You can definitely see the results. I do find that there are some who get involved in, say, Zumba and things like that who aren't seeing results. Or there's those who look at the dance aerobic type exercise and say, oh, you know, they're in there every day, but I don't see them changing. And I think there comes a time when you have to also say that it's not just about enjoyment as well. It is about working out and working hard. And then when you go home, you can't just assume that the same eating habits are going to produce a different result as well. So I think, yeah, if you are someone who enjoys the dancing, you might have to try to enjoy it a little less by getting more intense with it. You have to boost up that intensity level. You can still enjoy it, but you might, if you really want to get results out of it, you have to bump up that intensity level.
I
see that a lot in these classes where people just get used to the same songs. They get used to the rhythm of the class. It becomes a social event, which is fine. But if they want to see results physically, they can't just keep stagnant, so to speak, in that same rhythm. They have to change the rhythm up, change up the tempo, do things at a higher intensity level if they want to get that change. And then, of course, don't say, well, I burned 1,000 calories, so I should be able to eat 1,000 more.
Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. Stop working out with me. Use my favorite pain reliever cream, Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Save 10% when you order at www.myrubberarm.com and type in the coupon code MUSCLE1.
Yeah. It's true. And you know, the gym, just going even broader, a lot of times the gym is the same way. You know, a lot of people, especially in big cities like, you know, New York and LA and different areas, the gym is a social place. And so I see a lot of people go to the gym and just sort of hang out and just sort of barely lift and don't really challenge themselves. So, yeah, you always got to be pushing your limits. You always got to be, like, writing down what you did each time so you can push to the next level. Like I said, when we were doing the hip-hop abs, we were burning 1,000 calories every time. And then we're getting the clean food. And so nutrition is, you know, at least 80 to 90% of the battle. You know, I have a lot of people, not a lot, but every once in a while I have people like surgeons or different people who, you know, it's their excuse, but they claim, I just don't have time to work out. And so I'll at least work with them on their nutrition, you know, get them using the Shakeology, get them eating clean, doing, you know, maybe some macro type stuff, and they'll still see results, you know.
Yeah,
your body is so important.
Yeah, if you can clean up that diet and start eating foods, there's a lot of different diets out there, and we've had a lot of people come on the show to talk about different diets. And there is one thing I think that is common amongst them, is that if you're someone trying to gain weight, you need to eat more calories, whatever calories they're saying is better. And if you want to lose weight, you have to eat less calories of whichever calories they say are the good ones you should be eating. So there is that consistency. It may not be only that, but there is that consistency between all the diet programs I've seen.
To a point. Now, you know, I've encountered, so one of the ones that I really enjoy, because I've done just about everything, you know, everything from vegan to paleo to all these different things. And one of the ones I really enjoy is metabolic typing. So you've got, you know, you've got blood typing and different things. But metabolic typing allows the fact that your body changes over time. And so that you do like different like blood tests and stuff, and you see what your body should and shouldn't be intaking. And, you know, in that area, in certain areas, I think vegan even, they say, you know, eat as many calories as you want as long as it's clean food. So the nice thing that I sort of fall back on, sort of the metabolic idea of every body is different. So that's why these diet pills and these diet shows and these diet books sell so well, is because they don't all work for everybody. Not everyone's body is the same, so everybody's going to sort of try different things to see what works for them. If you've seen, I don't know if you saw the movie Fed Up that was about a month or two ago, that one really played against the whole calorie thing, because, and this is just a movie, this isn't me, but it's basically talked about sort of the lobbyists in government talking about, you know, what was it, the World Health Association back in the 60s did a test and they found that sugar was the big evil, right? But the lobbyists were saying, well, we're not going to give you money, like $700 million, unless you say it's fat instead of sugar. So they said it was low fat. And that's why through the 80s and 90s, we saw everything was low fat. And now the big thing is, everything will be all right if you just eat less calories. You can eat whatever you want as long as it's less calories. And the problem with that is, you have a handful of almonds, 160 calories, but you eat those, the fiber and the nutrients in the almonds will help it go through your system. Whereas if you have 160 calories of soda, it goes straight to your liver, you know, spikes your insulin, turns the fat, all these different things. So I really think it's sort of a balance of a lot of different things.
Oh, definitely. Know? Definitely. Yeah, I wasn't saying that the other things of what you're eating doesn't matter, but I'm saying there's a consistency over the different type of diets that are out there as far as, you know, whether you're trying to gain weight or lose weight. You know, it is a lot harder to eat, you know, as many almonds as calorically as it is, you know, a bag of candy. You can eat a whole bag of candy and not feel as full. If you were to try to eat a whole bag full of almonds, that'd be a lot harder of a task because they're a lot more nutrient dense.
Exactly. And that's the thing. That's the key. What you say is the nutrients. You know, it's funny. People think, oh, well, you know, I eat a lot of pizza and a lot of these other things and I don't feel full. Why is that? It's not because you're going to feel full when your stomach is literally full. It's because you're going to feel full when your brain says, I've gotten the nutrition I need, so now I can shut that part off, you know? And so that's why when you eat clean, you know, and for me, when I have my Shakeology and when I have my veggies and all these different things, I don't have to eat as much as I can see someone, you know, across the table from me eating, and I'll feel full, you know, because I'm actually giving my body the nutrients it needs.
Yeah, I think, at least here in the U.S., we're heard all around the world with this podcast, but at least in the U.S., I find that people really shouldn't be relying on their emotions to tell them when they're full or what they should be eating. I think there's this trap that we've culturally fallen into where people are asked, what do you feel like eating? And so they start trying to tap into their emotions so that their emotions can guide what they should be eating. And your emotions, they don't care about your waistline that much. They don't make that connection between your emotional and your physical self. You know, they don't make that connection between the two. Your emotions don't really know what's understand weight loss, don't understand weight management, don't understand how their emotions themselves connect to the physical body. And so if you're using emotions to guide your eating choices, you may not always get the best choice for your health.
It's very true, and it's something I've been planning on writing about, is like the tie between emotion and food. And, you know, so many people have such a bad relationship with food. And so a lot of people, especially, you know, in the sort of fitness competition worlds, they'll say, you know what, I only eat for fuel, and that's the only reason I eat, and it's only for fuel, and it's only for my body. And me, I'm a foodie. Like, I have so many great memories of my family and holidays and stuff like that. I don't want to lose that relationship with food and turn it just into fuel. So I think there's a happy medium of, you know what, I can be happy with what I'm eating, and I can enjoy what I'm eating, but still eat healthy and make different ways to do that healthy. So, for instance, my website that I created, the Fit Dude Food, just fitdudefood.com, that's exactly why I created it, is because I'm surrounded by all these other health and fitness people, and they're eating like, you know, oh, geez, I got to wake up and have eggs and sweet potato. And they're just sort of heating it and eating it. Like, that's boring, so why don't you put it in a wok, you know, dice up the sweet potato, cook the eggs with it, add some onion, add some garlic, and now it's a hash. And you're actually enjoying your meal, and your emotions are sort of being fed as well, you know? So you can actually sort of have your cake and eat it too, no pun intended, with the emotional side, if you're smart about it, and you start from, I'm in control, not my emotions.
I don't think that's a totally emotional choice, though. I think there is a lot of, I think what you've basically done is paid homage to the fact that you do like food that tastes good, and that's part of your decision-making process. And emotions can be a part of that decision-making process, but it shouldn't be the only thing. And you know, you can get along in life if the only thing you're thinking about is how it's fueling your body. Yeah, you could probably get along okay with food, you know. But once again, I think there is an emotional trigger there. I think that the people who go too far to the other end have some emotional triggers that give them a bad relationship with food, as far as almost fearing it and fearing to eating certain things. And so there's still this emotional thing that's guiding their decision, even if they're not recognizing it. So I think you do have to recognize that emotions do play a role in the things that we do. And then you have to decide whether that's the only thing
you want to play a role in the things that you do. It can be, just like you can make all your choices about, you know, what's the most logically optimal. But you have to realize that if you want to make the smartest decisions, you have to realize that you're a person, and you can use both logic and emotion. But just using one or the other, it can lead you down some strange paths.
It can. And, you know, one of the coaches on my team that I work with, you know, she started back in January, and she is a WBFF fitness pro. And so she lived in that world, and she really developed this bad relationship with food. You know, she'd be on, you know, she'd be on and she'd be off. And if you know the competition world, you know what I mean. You're on, so you're, like, eating perfect, and then you're off, and you're just binging. And she just hated food, and she didn't trust herself with food. And, you know, I got her to do one of these other programs called the 21-Day Fix. And it's just 3 weeks and just little portion control, these little Tupperware containers. It's a very simple program. And she was able to give herself some grace and not feel like she was, like, freaking out trying to be perfect. And she actually got in better shape with that than she was doing with her competition stuff. And it, like, healed her relationship with food. And it was the coolest thing to watch. And so, just as you say, I think there's a balance that some people just don't believe in. They don't think they can hit because they just get so obsessed. And, you know, me growing up, I've been a stress eater. I've been a emotional eater. I've been, you know, I think that all definitely comes from that mindset, the mindset issues and different things going on in my life and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of like, you know, I actually like watching Biggest Loser sometimes because you notice contestants on there, they don't start seeing change until Bob or Jillian takes them out and actually starts trying to talk about what's underneath it. You know, so that's where you get, as you say, the emotion starts welling up. And that's when they finally let some of that go and get through it. Then they can start seeing change.
Yeah, I think it's going to one side or the other, it's easy. I think that's why people do it, because it's the easy choice. That's why I don't always make great tasting food myself, because it's easier not to. You know, I can eat the calories and the types of nutrients I need quickly, then if I spend more time fixing something that's a lot tastier and maybe even a little bit better for me. But, you know, I just don't want to take the time for it. It's harder. And it's the same thing with if you decide to go use your eating habits just on what you feel like, then you don't have to spend time thinking about what's good for you. You're just letting your emotions guide you. And then on the other side, it's easy because, hey, you don't have to worry about what your emotions say, how it tastes, none of that. You just do, and it's just easy to put yourself on one side or the other, because then you don't have to think about what's in the middle. You don't have to make complex decisions. You can make very simple choices to guide your life, and it's easy that way. And, you know.
It's true. Very true. My cousin who got me involved with all this stuff, he's been a coach since 2007, so what's that, like 7 years? He's only just now getting to his balance, you know, because he likes, you know, getting, you know, taking once a week or something to get with friends, maybe have a cocktail or two. And before, he was feeling, like, guilt and emotion about that, but now he just feels a different balance in his life. You know, he's centered. So I think the key is find what makes you really happy. You know, dig it deeper and find out what are your goals? What's making you happy? Because so many people are just out there surviving. They're just on sort of get to Friday mode. You're like, I hate Monday, get to Friday, survive, you know, retire, whatever. You don't know if you're going to be around when you retire. You're like, be happy and figure out what makes you happy now. And then some of these other things will sort of balance themselves out, I think.
Yeah, you've hit on definitely one theme of the show is to lift strong and prosper. And it comes down to that is that if you're lifting strong, it's because you're lifting with purpose. You know, the metaphor is that when you're grabbing that weight, when you're lifting strong, you know where that weight is going. You know how much pressure you're putting on each one of your fingers. There's intent. There's purpose to what you're doing. And if you can figure out the purpose, not just in the weight room, but in life, if you lift strong in life, you're going to prosper more. You're going to have more happiness because you've decided what you're doing and you have a purpose with the actions that you're taking. And you'll have more confidence in life. You'll have more confidence. You'll feel better about your decisions when you're making them purposefully. Even when you mess up. Even when you mess up, you go, hey, you know, I purposely made this decision. It didn't work out. I'll just purposely make a different one. But if it's left up to the winds of chance, You have no control. You have no control. And so if something goes wrong, you didn't make a decision to act previously, you don't know how to change things to make them better.
It's a great point. You know, it's being decisive. Beachbody's motto is decide, commit, succeed. And it's right there. You got to make the decision. You got to commit to it. And then you'll succeed, you know, in any area of life. So it's a great point.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of times when individuals are hesitant to commit, to make that choice. Maybe they don't have enough information where they feel confident about making that choice. Maybe they're not sure about the outcome. But that's the thing, is that sometimes you do have to have a little bit of that faith, a little bit of trust that you're smart enough, you're intelligent enough, that if you decide to make the wrong choice and it's starting to go bad, that you're smart enough to know when to stop and change direction.
I call it analysis paralysis.
Right.
You know, there's people often, they have to know every single little detail. They have to research every little thing, and they never take action. So, yeah, that's another great point is faith, no matter what your spiritual beliefs, you got to have faith in yourself.
Right.
You know, you've got to have faith that you can actually commit to something and succeed with it, no matter what your history dictates. You know, we always have to live on what we're capable of, not what, you know, our surroundings currently tell us. You know, because the best stories that you read in life, you know, are about people who have overcome their surroundings. So, well, you know, there's the great little the parable about the little kid, and he's throwing starfish out in the ocean. This woman's walking along the beach, and she sees just thousands of starfish, and he's just taking each one, he's throwing it out. She's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Oh, you know, they're going to die if I don't throw them out there." And she's like, "Yeah, but you're never going to, like, you may as well not bother. You're never going to get all these, you know, done. You're never going to save them all." And he just leans over, takes one, throws it out, and he's like, "I saved this one."
Right.
You know,
so. Mattered that. Whether or not, no matter where you are in the world, no matter who you are, even if we're talking about things that you can't wrap your head around right now, don't stress over it. This should not be a reason to give up on fitness. You know, you don't need any type of education level to get into fitness. You don't need any type of intelligence, none of that. If you have a body that moves in any way, you can get into fitness. And I see them all the time. At the gym, we've got a guy in the wheelchair who comes into the gym, was born with some spinal problems. You know, I've seen the guy with two fake legs, and missing fingers. He's in the gym working out. So there's no prerequisite, for fitness. I want everyone to know that fitness is approachable to you, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what part of the world you're in. There's room for you to find your place in fitness.
It's a great, like, even field, you know. People from all over, I know coaches that do what I do that were lawyers and still are lawyers. Like I said, I have a master's degree. My cousin will be the first to tell you he was a six-time college dropout. You know, everywhere, all over the board. And it's just about passion. You know, you find what you're passionate about. Fitness is often something that you can become passionate about because you see the change in you, you see the change in others. And, you know, you'll learn as you go. Like I said earlier, you know, as long as you keep your mind open and become a student of life, that's all you need.
Definitely. I think it's, you know, not just a student of life, but a student of yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because one of the things I always tell my people with personal development is you will not recognize yourself in a year. I am not the person I was a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, on and on. Because the more you grow and the more you focus in and the more you work through your own things and learn, yeah, the more you grow as a person and everything else on the outside will sort of follow.
Yeah, and I don't think that means you don't have to resent who you were or resent who you are. I look back at I love who I am. I love who I was. I am different. I don't believe I'm necessarily better than the person I was, because I think the person I was still has value, because they were doing the best they could with the information that they had and everything else that was going on in that life that they were living, you know, and I just happened to have more experience in different things than that past persona of who I was did. I don't look at my past self with any disdain, and I don't look at my current self with any disdain, thinking that I'll be better in the future, because I think they're all good people and they all deserve a bit of respect, just as I myself deserve that same amount of respect in my current situation, no matter what it is, because I believe in them. I believe in me. And I believe that, you know, working the way I do, I can improve my situation. And if that improves me, that's great.
Yeah, I always take the judgment out. Like, I always take the judgment out of any situation when I can. And, you know, obviously the person I was the person who was raised by my parents who are no longer here, so I love that person. I wrote a blog post one time about, you know, the stuff that my mom told me to eat when I went to college. And it's just so funny, because she's like, you should really eat those, like, Marie Callender chicken pot pies, because they've got the veggies and the chicken, and oh my gosh, they also have, like, preservatives and salt and all these things, but I jokingly wrote, oh my gosh, my parents must have hated me. Of course they didn't. Like, they knew what they knew, and she did the best that she could. And so, yeah, I always remove any judgment, because I don't think I'm better or worse. But at the same time, I set a goal for myself. You know, it's probably on YouTube somewhere, but Matthew McConaughey actually had an amazing acceptance speech at the Oscars this year. And he said, you know, my hero is me in 10 years. He's like, and then when I get to that point, someone will ask me, are you your own hero now? He's like, no, my hero is me in 10 years. So you're always striving to be better, you know, and it's not a one is less or one is greater judgment issue. It's just a growth issue. You know, you always want to achieve more and grow yourself and move forward. So that's all that is just, you know, progress.
Right. And I hope that if someone listening to this podcast can look at themselves less judgmentally, they can start looking at the rest of the world less judgmentally. Maybe you don't like the things that are going around you. Maybe you don't like what your government's doing. Maybe you don't like what, the Monsanto's doing. Maybe you don't like, there's a lot of things you cannot like. But if you begin to demonize them because of those things, you're going to stifle your ability to find the solution. Just like with yourself. If you begin to demonize yourself and go, oh, I'm such a bad person. I can't do this. I can't do that. You're never going to find a way around the solution. But if you take away that judgment, you know, there's people who work in the medical field. You may, you know, there's people out there who say, oh, you know, these, you know, pharmaceutical companies. You know what? There's people who work in the pharmaceutical companies who are actually pretty good people. They're there trying to cure dangerous, deadly diseases that come along. And they're not bad people. Probably most of them went into the medical industry thinking they might find the cure for cancer. They might find the cure for AIDS. And yeah, they work with a pharmaceutical company. I don't think that makes them evil. Just because you don't agree with the pharmaceutical company. So if you can take the judgment away from yourself, from others, you're going to be able to find the solutions to how you can improve and to how you can change the situations around you. But if you go in demonizing this, demonizing that, are you going to see your demons? And demons are hard to deal with because they're so scary.
Yeah, you know, my first day of hip-hop abs, Sean told us, he's like, you know what, I'm going to take you on this journey. You're going to get in better shape, but the one thing I need from you is I need you to love yourself right now as you are. He's like, if you love yourself right now as you are, the rest will be easy. And that's the thing. You take the judgment away from yourself, and I like how you relate that to taking it away from other people. You know, my cousin, I've got another cousin who got her PhD in cancer and AIDS research. And so she's in that field. So obviously, you know, I don't have ill feelings for certain people. I learned that pretty early. I was very fortunate. I actually took I took Russian in high school. And so I started learning their culture and learning their history. And, you know, the Cold War days, we just viewed Russia as this big evil enemy and anyone from Russia as the big evil enemy. It's like,
Russia, we don't believe that now. We're cool with you, Russia.
Yeah, you know.
We're cool with you, too.
Yeah, no one was evil. Like, no one was good. No one was evil. It was people just trying to live their lives. And, you know, governments on top of them sort of being in more control of certain things. But you take that back to yourself in your own life. You know, I don't really care. I keep up with current events and different things, and I vote and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not sitting there like watching Fox News every day or CNN every single day, because I control my life, you know, and I control the world around me, and you know, I was actually the son of a city manager, so I had a different perspective on start local. If you want to get into that world, start local, not global, and you'll make a much bigger impact. So start with yourself, start with your community, and grow out from there instead of just sitting around complaining and judging and all that kind of stuff.
If you're sitting at home listening to this and you're like, well, you know, I do judge this and I do judge that, I don't want to demonize you for doing that either. But hopefully you can recognize that if you can see the demons in others, more often than not, it's because you can also see the demons in yourself. And maybe that's not a bad thing to be able to recognize your faults, but you should, you know, try to view them as faults. Try to view them as little inconsistencies that you want to iron out, and maybe not this big black hole of darkness. Because if you
they
can,
they don't define you.
Yeah, they don't define you, and they shouldn't define the world around you. Unless it's an actual black hole in space, nothing else is a black hole. So
I like that.
It can be a meter. We have a tendency to judge the world as a reflection of how we judge ourselves. And so if you're able to pick somebody else apart and see all this and that about them, it's most likely because you see a bit of yourself in them too. I'm kind of weird in that I really love people. I love myself. I do. I love myself quite a bit. And I love other people. And I love seeing the great things that others can do. Because I kind of copycat. I copycat a little bit. If I see something great in you, it inspires me. It wants me to adapt that into myself a little bit. And in that, if we can all do that a little bit more, we can all lift each other up. We can all raise. We can all become a better human race, a better humanity. If we learn what's good in ourselves and what's good in each other, and we build upon those things, there's no height we can't soar to as a species, as a race. If we can find a way to see the good in each other and the good in ourselves and build upon it.
And you know what's so funny is this is coming from people who, you know, go work out, go eat right, do a little health and fitness. Like these are the conversations I end up having with fellow coaches when we have events, like Beachbody events. And it's what I love, and it's what I try to sort of share when I talk about, you know, being a coach and, you know, doing health and fitness and stuff. It's so much more. It's not just about like losing 5 pounds. It's about getting into that mindset where you're open and you're more, you know, loving and you're more about unity and helping each other and you know, talking about the big things and having perspective on life. You know, when my folks passed away, it gave me this amazing perspective on life. It's where I kind of lost a little bit of my patience with people who made stupid complaints about different things. I'm like, look, you know, this is what your life could be like, you know, like look at the big picture and let's actually do something about it, you know? So
it's
about appreciation, you know?
Definitely. You know, and to be honest, we cheat. We cheat a little bit because when you work out, you get this chemical change in your brain. So we're kind of cheating because we get this nice little chemical change in our brain that helps us think differently. And so it's not that people in fitness are any different from anybody else. It's just that we're cheating. We're cheating by spiking our endorphins in a natural way through physical exertion. And you can cheat too. Anybody can cheat the same way we do. You know, it's available. These shortcuts to happiness, they're available to everybody if you just, you know, give it a whirl.
You don't need any drugs. You just lift a weight.
Yeah. Yeah. Go out, do some jumping jacks, you know, do some P90X, you know, and, you know, you might throw up, but guess what? You're changing your brain chemistry.
Right. That's toxins you're throwing up right there.
I think it was a little bit of lunch too, but
that's what it's about. That's what it's about, and that's why I love what I do. And I like to share what I do, and you know, sort of grow that. And as Beachbody says, sort of help end the trend of obesity. But I think more in the trend of negativity and in the trend of just bad relationship with yourself, and helping people actually believe in worth. And that's the thing. It always comes down to worth. You know, people.
Right.
They don't accomplish things because they don't truly feel they're worth it. You know, they don't feel like they deserve it. And that's my goal every single time, is to talk to that person who needs that big change and saying, I believe in you. You are worth this. You don't believe in yourself right now, but I believe in you. And I have my people that come to me, they say, you know, I don't believe I can accomplish this, but I trust you. I'm going to do this. And that's the best feeling in the world, is when I can help them believe in themselves, and then the rest happens.
Yeah, I think it's helpful if we can get people to do something, to set a goal and to accomplish it, even if it's just picking up a weight and lifting it above their head or whatever it is, or doing, you know, half a pull-up or half a push-up. You know, just being able to have them accomplish something is one of the biggest builders of self-confidence I think you can have, because it's the actualization of self-worth, is that ability to set a small goal and accomplish it.
It's great, because then, like, two days later, if you're weightlifting, you feel sore. And so you actually feel the effect, you know? Like, you can read a textbook, and your brain may or may not feel sore the next day, but, you know, it's immediate, you know, gratification, which also helps.
Right, right. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I started watching one of your little videos here this morning. I think you put one up, and started watching that before I headed off to the gym. It was really nice to get some of that early morning motivation in before heading off.
Good. Yeah, you know, and that's what I do it for. And I just, as you say, there's nothing new under the sun. I get that from other coaches. You know, years ago, a great friend of mine, Barbie Decker, she started doing that as a coach. She started posting videos every morning, and she'd just say, you know, oh my gosh, it's 6 a.m. I really don't feel like working out, but I'm going to get it in. And then, like, 30 minutes later, you see her follow-up video. Oh, you know, I didn't think I was going to do it, but I did it, and I feel a little better. That inspired me, and so now I'm just passing that on and inspiring other people. So I love that helps you.
Yeah, it was cool to see. Cool to see. I was like, hey, man, he's up. He's up and moving already. That's good. It's good to know I'm not alone. Not alone in this fitness world.
Exactly. That's the support. That's the key.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, you got any tips you can give out to people as far as fitness goes that we can give them that they can maybe do tomorrow or the next day?
Definitely. You know, if you just move your body 25 to 30 minutes a day, no matter what you're doing, and change it up while you're doing it. You know, if you're going to get on the treadmill, don't just walk at a certain speed, even if it's the fast speed, change it up. So do, like, you know, a minute, at like speed 4, ramp 5, then ramp 10, then ramp 15. Then go down to a flat ramp and do a sprint for 2 minutes. That's interval training. You're going to burn more. You're actually going to burn more for the next 2 days, even when you're not working out anymore. So vary it up. And again, opinions vary on nutrition. This is what I believe. This is what I do. Your body is like a wood-burning stove, so you should be eating every 2.5 to 3 hours. You got to get that breakfast in you. You got to get water in you, then breakfast in you. It'll start that metabolism going for the day. And then every 3 hours, you have something. And your metabolism will burn. That's why you see the healthiest people seem like they're eating all the time. But it's because they're fueling that metabolism. So just do those two things. Clean up. You know, I'm always around. My Fitbit Food, I have a 5-day cleaning guide that's free right there on the website. You can get that. Like I said, I've gone through so many different nutritional things. I sort of break it all down into just the basics of the healthy proteins, healthy carbs, healthy fats, and why they're healthy. Give you sort of a grocery shopping list you can do tomorrow. And it's all right there for you. And you'll start seeing immediate results. You'll feel better. The cholesterol, you know, I used to be on blood pressure, cholesterol, acid reflux, all those, and they're gone. Now, obviously, results vary, but for me, just losing weight and moving around and eating right, it'll help you in so many ways. So that's what I would offer just to begin with.
Great. Great, thanks. Well, you know, we didn't really get a chance to get into your history. I read over your bio there. You talked about that a little bit. Sorry we didn't get a chance to tell everyone how you overcame all those tragedies in your life, but it seems like you have. And I think the person we're talking with today is a benefit to have around. So it was a joy having you on the show today, and I'm grateful we got the opportunity to spread the message that you're sharing.
Well, I really appreciate it. It was so much fun talking to you. I'm glad we connected, and I'm glad I was able to sort of inspire people, hopefully. And, you know, read my story. Go to my site, you know, fitdudefood.com. Read my story, and believe me, if I can get through that and be doing well, you can get through whatever your, you know, obstacles that come up in your life. So, and I'm happy to help you do it. So,
thanks
for having me on.
Yeah. And we're going to make sure we get all of John's links in the show notes, so all the books he talked about. John will help me find the links to get those books in there and to his to his website. All you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes, you're beautiful. Remember to lift strong and prosper.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Union Podcast. Please stay tuned for a message from the Union. You have been listening to the Union Podcast. All rights are reserved by the content's creators.
Next week on the Union Podcast, I'll be speaking with Kent Beerley.
Hello, everybody.